because I don't want to go backwards. I want to keep going forward together. That's exactly where we're going to go.
I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This is Rewind, Wisconsin's Eye summary of this week in the Capitol. We are in the season of omnibus packages. And that 29-page education package that came out at 8 p.m. Tuesday, I thought, now you and I have been doing this a long time, I thought that was still pretty amazing. Agree, JR?
It was a Christmas tree for some people. You know, I mean, you put all the presents in there you want. But in reality, there's so many moving parts in education. You're kind of making choice fit with K-12, and
yeah,
the money goes here and there. So in some ways, it makes sense. Now, it also, to be honest, in terms of efficiency, they've limited debate on motions to 10 minutes per motion,
yep,
so you could, or per paper. So you could go all these papers and go 10 minutes per person at a time, or do it all in one shot. Now, I think they gave a little more time yesterday in the omnibus motions, but in some ways it makes it go easier for the majority party, which, you know, that's how it's always been done.
But the public and reporters don't see it till 8 p.m. on Tuesday, and then it's adopted 5 hours later, and it affects how we pay for K-12 education, mm-hmm, in public, charter, private, even it virtual schools.
Changes the Racine School Board elections to go,
yep,
from at-large seats to 9 districts.
Yeah.
It requires districts or school boards to allow kids who are homeschooled or private schooled in their district to play sports.
Yep.
So extracurricular activities. I talked to the WIA executive director this week, said, we were founded 120 years ago because of this issue, where schools were allowing kids who weren't part of the school to play,
yeah,
and that's a big issue for us. Now, we also made the point of, if you're a small school in Wisconsin and you are struggling already, but you offer football and the private school next door doesn't, you are so attractive to a kid because of that. If you can go next door and still play football, it's one less reason to go to your school. So now, will that play out? Will kids abandon these public schools because of sports? Who knows? But it's the fear of change. It's the fear of the unknown of what could happen, and that's save the choice program.
Well, you just pointed out that it's Christmas tree. So let's just go through one by one, 10 major provisions, okay? It restores $127 million in K-12 aid next year that the governor's budget had cut. The governor offered that budget in February. He's since come around, and everybody was saying, we are going to restore this money. It's just, mm-hmm, a matter of where they were going to find it.
Oh, and the argument has been for Republicans, well, Governor, if you really were for schools from the start, why don't you fund them in the first place?
Yep. Yeah, that's true. And they also said, we're going to boost K-12 funding by $69 million in the second year. So they're able to say, we not only restore the governor's cut, but we're going to boost it in the second year.
And the Democrats are quick to point out, well, okay, that $200 million you're putting to schools is misleading because you're also now taking the choice program, mm-hmm, statewide in Racine, mm-hmm, and patterning after the open enrollment program, which means of that $200 million, a chunk is going to go to private schools.
That's right. That's right, which is the second item here. Lifts the 1,000 student cap on voucher program outside City of Milwaukee and Racine. However, there's a limit. Up to 1% of each student in the district can be a choice.
So the first 10 years and the cap goes away.
And then the cap goes away.
The bigger thing is going to be the formula for funding it.
Yeah.
The choice advocates were not happy with Governor Walker's budget because what he wanted to do was, okay, you go to Beloit, X number of dollars go with you because you're in a poor district. You go to Menominee Falls, Y dollars go with you because you're at a wealthier district.
Much richer.
We're going to pool all that money into one pot and then, yep, give you an average voucher, which you wouldn't notice how the voucher was until after all the kids were, you know, in the program, in the,
yep,
pot.
Yep.
They wouldn't have been enough to fund the voucher, the cost of education of that kid.
Right.
So they weren't happy with it. This is a much better formula for choice advocates.
Yes.
And John Niger, the co-chair, argued it's also better for the schools because of the formula for open enrollment, the districts don't lose all of that money,
mm-hmm,
because of the taxing authority they get and their formulas. So in some ways, it's a little bit of a less of a hit, if you will, for the public school.
But let's actually look at those numbers. It provides $7,200 per K-8 student, $7,800 per high school student in the voucher program. And then going back to what you said earlier, the Fiscal Bureau paper says it's a hit of $48 million in public schools, but there's some offsets, I'm told, by the Fiscal Bureau.
Moving parts, so it's hard to know.
Yeah.
Until you get an actual run per district, it'll be hard to know. And how many kids will leave each district, it's going to be a little bit of a wild card in that regard to know what the true impact is per school.
And as it was debated 2 years ago, here comes the voucher program again for K-12 students with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very emotional issue.
Very emotional, and the Democrats are quick to point out that the groups who represent kids with disabilities don't like it. We have a very vocal group of people who really want it very badly.
Yes.
So it's been a fight for the last couple of years. It's been hung up in the Senate. Wouldn't go along with it, I believe, last couple of times. So they put it in. Now the question is, will it stay in once it gets to both houses? to be determined.
Okay. And then next, this is a new one. I didn't see this one coming. Let's Milwaukee County Executive Chris Abley name an overseer for up to 3 failing schools in the 2016-2017 school year. That number could go to 5 in the following school year.
And each year after that. It also, the provision also opens a door for Racine and Madison to end up being subject to a similar system going forward. Now, the idea is, from Kienga and Darling, that Milwaukee Public Schools have been failing for a long time.
Yep.
The CHOICE program, you know this better than I, was founded 20 years ago to force Milwaukee to compete, MPS to compete with private schools,
yes.
And it would force improvements.
Yes.
That has not happened.
Yes.
So the status quo is not working in their minds. They want to do something different. This creates a new avenue of taking failing schools and, okay, MPS is not doing the job. We're going to do it this way. Now, for MPS and Democrats, you're taking over our schools through an unelected commissioner who would be appointed by the county executive.
Yes.
How is that really local control? And why are you doing this to us?
Also, I don't think they completely vetted this with Chris Abley. Do you? I think this was kind of a surprise to the Milwaukee County Executive.
I'm not sure, but it's a surprise definitely Madison and Green Bay would also be part of this potentially. Now, there are several criteria you have to meet before you get into this system have established.
Yes.
But Madison and Racine have hit a couple of them. If they have failing marks for a couple of years in a row, they could be in the same kind of system.
They could be there unless this program is rewritten in 2 years,
rewritten,
3 years, 4 years.
Or vetoed or whatever. It's to be determined, but again, will they go to other cities? If this works, will they go elsewhere and begin the process of doing this? It's basically a takeover of schools. Now remember, this isn't the first time it's been proposed. Governor Doyle, Mayor Barrett talked about a takeover of MPS. What was that, 5, 7 years ago, a little bit different system.
Tommy in the late 90s wanted to break up MPS.
Yes, so the idea is not new. It's a new vehicle to do it, and it's the same complaint. I mean, the teachers union was not happy with Governor Doyle. We talked about this a few years back. They're not happy about this idea either. Neither is MPS. They feel like they're being picked on.
Well, and my nominee for the thing I least expected to be part of this package requires high school students to pass a civics test to graduate. This is the idea of freshman representative Jimmy Boy Edming. Mm-hmm. It's had one public hearing. Mm-hmm. That public hearing was very, very interesting. I'm very surprised this is in there. Do you share my surprise?
I do know that Speaker Voss was a big fan of the idea.
Okay.
Now, it begs a question. When's it kick in? What happens if you fail? You could take 3 times, 5 times, 6 times. You know, all these kinds of rules. Now, here's the thing. With anything in education, there's a law that you pass and the rules the DPI promulgates to make it work. So that'll be a big question, too. What's DPI say how it works? What if I take it 10 times?
Yeah, 11? You can retake.
You start your sophomore year, right? You have to take the test the first time or something like that?
I'm not up to speed. But here, JR, I'm going to give you a test. Okay. Here's one question. The Department of Homeland Security, naturalization self-test. Here's the first question. What do we call the first 10 amendments to the Constitution? A, Bill of Rights. 2, the Inalienable Rights. 3, the Articles of Confederation. 4, the Declaration of Independence.
Bill of Rights.
Okay, thank you. Moving on.
Thank God it's multiple choice, right?
Yes. Prohibits DPI Superintendent Tony Evers from promoting Common Core standards. That's no big surprise.
No. Now, the message that John Erpenbach had during the hearing was, wait, Governor Walker's been touring the country saying we're going to repeal Common Core. Does that really repeal Common Core? So, but yeah, I mean, Republicans are not happy with that system at all. You also have some Democrats, not big fans. So have that in there is not a surprise at all.
Right. Let's high school students graduate of half of their credits from a learning portfolio. What is a learning portfolio? And when you were in high school, did you build one? Because I didn't.
I took what I had to graduate.
I understand.
And get out of there so I go to college.
I understand. let's land here. Choice remains one of the most divisive issues. Choice in the city of Milwaukee. It's been around 25 years. And this exchange between Senator Lena Taylor and State Representative Dale Coenga, she accused the legislature, not just this one, but past legislatures, of raping Milwaukee children.
And so, people on the committee.
That's true. So let's listen to that exchange here for a few seconds.
Quit giving us the hypocrisy of double standards and just give us what's due us. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. Just what's due us.
Well, I just want to point out, when you were in charge of this committee, you didn't deal with this issue. And when we were on this committee, we dealt with this issue.
For years, individuals who sit on this committee and in this building have known that they have been raping the children of MPS.
This is the second time in a conversation we've had on these issues, one publicly in UWM and now here. We use the word rape. So, I mean, I just find that sick. Just absolutely sick. Second of all is, I'll take you at your word that you made efforts legislatively to do something on this. I take you at your word. And I'm just grateful that my Republican leadership is more supportive of my concern on this issue than your Democrat leadership was to you when you brought the issue.
So I get it. The word rape sounds offensive. But when you consider the fact that 15 out of 100 kids can read on grade level, while $89 million have been skimmed from the education of kids, that's what is disgusting and despicable.
JR, that was a pretty raw exchange between the only legislator from the city of Milwaukee and Representative Coinga. And that just shows how, as they approach these major, major decisions, we're going to hear more of these major disagreements next week, aren't we?
What's interesting, too, about the Choice Program is when it was founded 20 years ago, it was a coalition of African-American Democrats in
Milwaukee.
And
Ed Pauley Williams
was
the leader.
The real champion of it. And Tommy Thompson, Republicans outstate. Democratic Party's never been a big fan.
Right.
One question choice advocates have, where have all the African-American Democratic lawmakers who back school choice gone? They're not there anymore. There's not a huge support for the Choice Program in the Milwaukee delegation anymore. That's one that's changed a great deal.
You're talking about the Jason Fields.
Yeah.
They're gone.
Excuse those guys.
Me.
And they've been targeted in elections. And if you have Scott Jensen, who is part of one of the groups, pro-school voucher groups,
yes.
When he goes in and helps Democrats in these primaries, that's singled out as a bad thing in these primaries anymore. It is but a big change in the dynamic. And now for Democrats, I'll argue that, look, you're creating a separate system. You are slowly draining Milwaukee of resources because remember the funding flaw they've had for years?
Yes.
Part of that exchange that Lena was having
the
was
about
the money
is subtracted from MPS
the
school
hundreds
rates.
Of millions of dollars MPS that the Milwaukee has lost because
of
the funding
flaw. You said 89 million, yeah.
Well, even bigger than that is that the property tax flaw.
You're right.
All these things that go into it, this is part of what she was talking about.
You're right. Okay, what's your nominee for the biggest surprise in the GOP schools package?
Probably the thing that I wasn't expecting most, revamping an entire school district's election process. That was different. Yeah.
By the Speaker and by Senator Van Wongard.
I think people were a little surprised that Madison and Racine were included in the recovery package. I mean, I talked to you,
Dale. Potentially.
Yes, potentially. I talked to Dale Kayanga previously, and he had mentioned they were going to do this. That had been kind of known that he and Alberta were working this program, but that it was going to also include those two. It was a little bit. Kay. Something I wasn't expecting.
Okay. My nominee for the one that doesn't make it in the final budget is a civics test. Do you have a nominee?
Ooh, I hate predicting vetoes.
Okay.
I pass.
Let's talk about two other things quickly that Joint Finance did. They approved drug testing for unemployment benefits and job training. That will rely on getting a federal waiver. Do I have that right?
Most of them, yes. So there's one of them that they said, don't apply for the waiver, go ahead and start doing the rules. So it's going to be interesting to watch. Are there any repercussions? Will the Fed say yes? What happens with this kind of stuff? And then the Democrats also argue, look, you're going to spend all this money and find a very small percentage of people who are, you know, positive. So what's the point? But for Republicans, again, it's about we need people who can fill these jobs. The governor talked about the convention last weekend. We are, and Lieutenant Governor, there are 80-some thousand jobs available right now in Wisconsin if you are qualified. Part of the qualifications usually is you're drug-free. If you're not drug-free, you can't get a job. This is a problem. And we have all kinds of employers saying, I've got openings. I can't find people to pass a drug test.
Right.
What's going on?
So finally in Joint Finance this week, senior care started, I think, in 2003. Mm-hmm. Very popular program. 85,000 elderly, low income, paid $30 a year. That hasn't changed.
Not in a decade, no. 12
right.
years.
That hasn't been changed. And they pay $5 for generics as their copay, $15 for the other drugs. And it's so popular, and AARP and other groups mounted such pushback that they said, senior care, hear us, you 85,000 people and your relatives and your advocates, it's not going to change.
What's interesting was at one point, you know, Governor Walker originally proposed was, if you're in senior care, you have to apply for Medicare Part D. If you qualify, you have to enroll.
Yes.
Republicans said early on, we're not going to do that. What they did talk about, though, was possibly raising the enrollment fee
yes.
or copays to try and bringing the cost of the program.
Last week, couldn't even do that.
Last week at the convention, one of the operatives who spoke to delegates said, seniors vote. I'll give you two guesses why they took care of seniors with this program and said it's not worth the headache. I mean, yes, Republicans, if you talk to them the last couple of weeks, have said, hey, I've talked to people in my district, and they've said $30 is cheap. Mm-hmm. I'd pay $100. You know, I'd be okay with that.
Yep.
When push came to shove, it wasn't worth the pain to do something.
At
like
one
that.
Point, Speaker Voss floated a trial balloon. We could even potentially triple the $30 annual mm-hmm. fee. Well, that didn't go anywhere, and senior care is not going to change one iota.
It's become like a fourth rail in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it has. That's a very good analogy. Let's talk about WEDIC. This is an agency under siege. Let's kind of go through a timeline. There's a second audit. WEDIC fails to monitor the job creation requirements, can't follow state law. State Journal does a pretty good story. Mm-hmm. It says that former DOA Secretary Mike Hipsch personally lobbied for a loan to the business of a Governor Walker campaign contributor. This is in 2011. This is only months after the governor is reelected, months after this campaign contributor wrote the maximum $10,000 check. Then Democrats asked the U.S. Justice Department, this happened this week, to investigate the eventual $500,000 unpaid unsecured loan given to the business operated by that campaign contributor. And then just yesterday, Joint Finance goes along with the governor's recommendation, take me off the board. And Joint Finance, did they approve it yesterday, or will they approve the idea of no longer giving loans to specific companies?
They took him off the board, and they grabbed the $55 million he proposed for loans.
They put it in a pot, right?
Yes. They put that in a pot to spend elsewhere. What's interesting is, even if you ask the governor's administration, they'll tell you the agency was not well run initially. They had all kinds of problems. There was a foundational problem getting WEDIC off the ground.
Continual churn of CEOs and executives?
Oh, just all kinds of things, because they had a short window. Remember, the governor introduced the budget to change commerce into WEDIC.
Right.
There was no real time for a transition. That created a poor foundation. Right. They will also say that there were problems from the Dole administration grabbing bad Commerce Department loans into WEDIC that they inherited, then became part of the problem. The thing is, they've never been able to get their head above water and fix the issue and get out ahead of the bad publicity. It has been an albatross for Governor Walker for months. It's a fascinating development that just 3 months ago he's saying merge it with WEDA and make Forward Wisconsin, this new development authority that would really streamline and make more efficient our economic development efforts. 2 weeks ago he says drop the merger. A week ago he says drop the loans, put the money in tax credits. If they didn't put it in tax credits, they're basically stripping down WEDIC because it is a problematic agency. Now, for Democrats, it is a pinata anymore.
It is a shooting gallery.
They can take off. The bigger question for Governor Walker nationally is, this becomes an issue nationally. What we see yesterday, he has not created 250,000 new jobs his first term. He got barely halfway there.
He got 129,000, right.
His flagship agency to create jobs has been, the story that Chris Taylor talked about in finance was cronyism, incompetence. That's the story of WEDIC in her mind. It's an easy, and even Dean Knutson, a Republican from Hudson, said, I had questions about creation of this agency in general. Should we be doing this in the first place?
Right.
It is just a problem for him, and they cannot get it fixed.
But let's go a little bit deeper. Did the governor want to be the chairman of WEDIC so he could tout the eventual creation of 250,000 jobs? And now that he fell short of that by almost half, he wants off?
Good question.
Or did you saw the releases? You heard the Democrats say he was fired.
Yeah.
And Alberta Darling said no. The governor had decided that as long as he's chair of WEDIC, he became too much of attacked, and it became too much of a RD. What's the real story?
Good question. The Democrats were unhappy because remember, his original plan was to pull all elected officials off the WEDIC board. Period.
Yep.
Lawmakers weren't happy because they don't like being taken out of oversight roles. Right. And they always vote to give themselves more oversight in the joint finance process, mm-hmm. and often it's vetoed out in the final budget. But in this case, the separate bills, because remember Walker put in the budget, then asked for separate legislation to work on it outside of the budget. In that bill, it took him off and kept them on. You know, John Roebuck's words yesterday were, if he wants off, he's running away. So he can't win with Democrats no matter what.
Right. You know, which goes back to my question, is this going to become a big issue for once he announces as a presidential candidate?
I've already seen the New York Times write about it this week. It is going to be an issue. It is an issue for him because what's he running on? I've taken on the unions. I've implemented conservative reforms in Wisconsin. We have a Wisconsin turnaround.
Yep.
The place, I think his words this week were that Wisconsin was a mess when we took over. Well, now his flagship job agency is still a mess.
A mess. You
know, 4 years later, that's a big problem for him. And you know, Donald Trump, I think I saw something, a raised question about Walker and the number, the amount of bonding in Wisconsin, the debt the state's piled. I mean, you can pick apart various things Walker has done as governor and try and question, raise the question of, well, how effective have you been? Are you really that big? Is it really that big of a Wisconsin turnaround while you've been governor?
Good point. Let's pivot to the courts. The targets of our John Doe investigations had asked the U.S. Supreme Court to get involved. Last week, the U.S. Supreme Court said, we ain't going there. This means that whether John Doe, well, am I saying this right? Whether John Doe investigations continue or are shut down is an issue now pending before our state Supreme Court?
Yes, there's also a separate lawsuit in Waukesha County Court. But the Supreme Court, remember the Supremes, they don't take a lot of cases.
No, you're talking
U.S. Supreme
U.S.
Court.
Supremes. Go.
They are petitioned thousands of times a year and take a small percentage. So the fact they didn't take this one case, not that much of a shock, especially with a case pending in state court.
Yes.
Remember the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals said when they rejected the Randa decision, overturned it, was this should have been left in state court. Well, now we've got the state court decision. It could come out any day now from this state Supreme Court justice saying, okay, one, this investigation go forward. Was there a foundation for it? All these issues about campaign finance law and is coordination between candidates and issue groups, not issue groups, is that allowed? That's you know, heart of the case, and we'll find out from the court what it thinks.
Thanks, because here's my question. Are all the briefs in? Is that truly a ruling that we could see any day now?
They released everything last week that was redacted. I believe everything is in.
Okay.
There have been rumblings that could come, but again, it's like anything. The court operates in its own time frame. June 30th is usually the last day for decisions to come
end
out.
End of the term, yes.
Yes, we've got 1 month and 8 days left before it should be out.
It was interesting. I was able to interview Chief Justice Rogenczak and just asked her a basic question. Have you talked to former Chief Justice Shirley Abramson and personally? And she said, no, while this lawsuit is pending, maybe feelings are a little too harsh for that. That was interesting. She also said there was this Marquette University Law School grads come in and are sworn in, and it's a happy time. And Rogenczak said she got emails from Abramson, Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, and Pat Crooks saying we're not going to be there. And so that was, do you think that was a boycott or were they pouting?
Good question. I haven't seen the emails yet to know what the reasoning was.
Okay.
But
it was a public snub.
It did give conservatives the opportunity to tee off and Justice Abramson and say, you know, this is classless, this is tacky, she should have been there.
Yeah.
This is not the way you operate if you're Justice of the Supreme Court, especially when it's a happy occasion for college grads. Now, same time, the dean said, hey, they've missed these things before. So, but kind of a coincidence, all three of the ones from the Abramson kind of like coalition, if you will, all miss the same time.
Okay. And this is the last time, new subject, we're going to talk about the 70 miles per hour speed limit, but there is a map of where it will be going into effect. That the governor signed that. That's one thing that affects us all. I might be tempted later today as I go north to break that 65
miles
per hour limit.
Remember, the signs are posted.
I know, late June or early July. But two trivia questions, JR. What was the year that Wisconsin adopted the 65 miles per hour limit?
I don't know.
1996.
Oh, college.
Yeah. And the first law setting the speed limit was passed in 1947. Before 1947, it was unlawful to operate a vehicle, quote, carelessly and heedlessly with wanton disregard for the safety of others. If you're going out of town, JR, as you just said, you can't do 70 yet.
Not yet. And now they have the interstates, but the DOT is still taking time on the four-lane state highways, a la Wisconsin 41, for example, between Milwaukee and Appleton. That might be a prime because there are no at-grade crossings, so it'll speed there too.
Now let's talk presidential politics. Mm-hmm. So you and I covered the governor in La Crosse, state convention. He then went to Iowa. Then New Orleans, yesterday, Oklahoma City.
He was in D.C. on Wednesday.
Thank you for the correction. Please. I missed the D.C. Mm-hmm. Well, any major updates on his soon-to-be-announced, whenever, likely presidential campaign?
It's fascinating. I mean, he's saying all along, after the budget. So we're getting close. The betting money is he's going to announce he is running. So I don't think he's going to say no. But it's fascinating that he's getting this really rotten reception in Wisconsin right now. And a great one nationally. So he goes to New Orleans, big reception, big you know, round of applause for him. They like the message. He goes to D.C. He meets with members of Congress, Republican members of Congress. They seem to be enthralled with him and like the message of imagine what we could do together. You know, if I'm president and you guys are in charge, what we could do.
Kumbaya. Okay.
Just like Wisconsin.
Okay.
And then he goes off to Oklahoma City and is one of, I think, three presidential, possible presidential candidates who speaks
Southern
to the
Republican Leadership Conference.
A group of activists, gets a great reception there. So it's going well. But there are all these things back home that Republicans are ripping apart his budget. Now, I mean, there's always grumbling about the budget, right? But I've talking to people, they have not seen this level of unhappiness and grumbling in the budget, especially transportation, that they can remember. So there's that going on. It's also fascinating is the default answer seems to be anymore from Republicans of, well, it's the governor's fault. So there's a bad piece of the budget, well, it's the governor's fault. Well, here's the little thing that the governor's people tell you. Okay, the governor's on the ballot next year statewide. We know that for sure. Maybe presidential, we don't know. But not on the state ballot. But his policies will be part of the narrative. And if you're trashing them, that hurts the GOP brand. If your brand is hurt in Wisconsin, that hurts you next fall, people in swing districts. So there's a little bit of a danger, if you will, in the governor's people's minds of constantly complaining about him and what he's done. Because remember, his coattails brought a lot of those folks along with him in 2014. You know,
2014.
It helped. The turnout that Republicans had, now there's also a national wave, but he helped.
You guys, it was politics. You always poll the delegates. Mm-hmm. So, of course, Walker, our home field advantage guy, won. But once you took Walker out of the equation, who did the delegates like?
Rubio, about a fourth of them.
Okay.
So, you know, we got 300-some delegates out of maybe 1,000 people who were there. So that's a decent sample size of what was there. But, yeah, Rubio was a quarter. But it wasn't like it was a runaway, not like with Walker, where Walker was 75% of the delegates who voted backed him, which isn't a real big surprise. Maybe he should have been higher. But that's pretty good, healthy home field advantage, if you will.
Yeah, okay. Okay, time for Wisconsin stock picks.
So remember, it's a 2 week take. So couple weeks ago, Governor Walker elevated Rebecca Bradley to the first
Milwaukee County Circuit Judge to the Court of Appeals.
Second time he's appointed to the court. First time Milwaukee, now the first court, this Court of Appeals. We're all betting next year's going to be an open state Supreme Court race.
Yes.
Pat Crooks has said, I'm still taking my time to figure this out. He's a man without a base, however. Who would run his race? Who would donate to him? That's a big question. So betting money is he doesn't run again.
Okay.
So Bradley now has circuit court and appeals court in a resume. It just kind of adds. Now, she cleared the big first hurdle is get the robe. If you have the robe, you could run for Supreme Court. If you don't have a robe, you have a hard time. Just ask Ed Falone, for example.
Right. Against
how difficult
the
that
chief,
is.
The former chief, right?
Marquette, ran against Chief Rogan, or Justice Rogensack in for the Marquette Law School. It's tough. It's tough, you know. So she's got that on her resume.
She's got the robe, so that's why she's rising.
The question is, who's going to run? Mark Gundrum, former state lawmaker, now in the Circuit Court of Appeals.
Right.
He's well thought of as well. Joanne Kloppenburg, who lost to Prosser in 2011. There's a good bet she takes another run at the Supreme Court. So what I will tell you is I would bet money there'll be a more interesting race next year, if it happens,
absolutely,
than it was this year or the year before.
Okay, Bradley's a good choice. Mixed.
The Bucks.
Oh, this
is
package is
time.
On again, off again.
It is crunch time. So we've been hearing that all the people who are involved are finally going the same direction.
You want to talk about moving parts. Go ahead. It's
but
in
it's
this Bucks
inching,
Arena funding.
Inching and inching forward to get this thing done. Now, remember the president, Peter Feigen, I think you say his name, a month ago. 10 days. We had 10 days to get this done. Well, that wasn't true. But now we do have literally 10 days because it's got to be done by next Friday. Now, can they get that in there, get everybody on board? It's a question. From what I've been hearing from people, it's a matter of, okay, they're in the same direction of how to do this, but it's a matter of who pays what and how much and when.
Okay.
You know, how do you get these people on board? Okay, this is my share, and I'm okay with that. I've got revenue stream to cover it, all that kind of good stuff. So there's work to be done, but the sense is it's getting close. But those last few yards are always the hardest.
Absolutely. And then falling.
You know, Justice
State Abramson, employees.
State employees. So we have not had a raise. We're not getting a raise this biennium.
Most state employees don't pay health care co-pays and deductibles. Mm-hmm. Do I have this right?
Go back. So 1% raise this budget.
Yep.
No raise the one coming up.
Yep.
Go back 4 years. Higher health care costs, higher pension costs. Now we have a package out this week that was approved by the group insurance board. To cost, save $81 million.
Okay.
Now, some of that might come from providers, but a big chunk is from employees. They're going to see double out-of-pocket costs, deductibles, all these things are going up. So if you're a state employee, you're going, okay, I'm not catching up financially with the hit that I took 4 years ago. Here's the thing, though, for state employees. If you're a lawmaker and you've got $81 million to spend, where do you put it? What's the political benefit of giving a state employee a raise versus giving your school district a raise. It's a tough, you know, it's a tough place to be for these state employees who are not going to make out well in this budget.
I think that's a wise choice. Okay, let's close this way. We talked about the Bucks package being one of the major things Joint Finance has to resolve if they want to have a budget by June 1, which is their goal. So I think there's at least three other things out there that they have to. You want to go first? Which one?
Transportation.
Yep, transportation.
Are they going to pass a fee increase and dare the governor to veto it? Are they going to pass a fee increase and dare him to veto it and say, okay, if you don't want it, then you go ahead and cut the projects? Or do they go, okay, political reality is he won't sign a fee increase in the middle of a presidential campaign, so we're not going to do it. But then we cut the project. Well, if you cut the projects, you're the bad guy. Make the governor be the bad guy. Then there's always a question of, do you try a veto override? If you do pass it, he does veto it. That's all, you know, to be determined.
Republican legislature overrides a Republican presidential
candidate? I'm not saying it's the most likely scenario.
Presidential candidate?
A couple of ones who are really unhappy about it, they're gung-ho. Let's do this, you know, but I don't. Leadership, cooler heads might prevail before that, that happens.
Okay, my turn. UW system funding. It seems to me that they have reached under every cushion to come up with K-12 aides. There may not be any easing of the $300 million cut to the UW system that the governor proposed in February. Agree?
There are people in the Republican caucuses who don't want to reduce the cut. They're not happy with UW.
Right.
They're also saying, you've got this big cushion out there in your reserves, which obviously UW says, hey, that money is committed. It is not really just a cushion of, you know, dollars laying there.
Yeah.
Republicans have talked about, we want to reduce the cut, but what's left? Every day or every couple of days, they'll ask your finance, Bob Lang, how much we saved today? What are we at? And he'll tell them how much they're at.
He'll score. Yep.
What's left? That's the big question. They spent a big chunk of change in K-12. That was a priority.
Right.
Where else is it going to go?
And when you do not change senior care, you lose an additional 16.5 million in GPR.
I think the omnibus price tag was 21 million GPR upper altogether, roughly. Don't hold me to that one. But there have been increases elsewhere. Transportation. Do they try and direct some dollar GPR dollars? All these questions to be figured out.
Major questions. And finance is going to meet twice this week, and one of them is Friday. That could bleed into Saturday.
Or they might come back on Saturday.
Or they could come back.
They told
us
Wednesday and Friday for sure, and possibly Saturday, because they want to be done by the end of the month. Wednesday end of the month, Sunday, May 31st.
Yep.
So, you know,
that's right.
That keeps on their timeline.
I'm going to add one more: the stewardship argument. Do you stop buying stewardship land to keep it from being developed? Because it's a very popular program. However, debt service is the reason they're considering putting a moratorium on.
I'll add one more, the 999 motion.
That is
the big question. It's always jammed full of interesting things, always comes out late at night the last day.
Yep.
Always some surprises in there.
Absolutely. Fascinating. I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
That's Rewind for May 22nd.